The voice of one crying the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. The voice of one crying the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. The voice of one crying.
You're welcome to yet another time that we have been opportune to seek the Lord. Scripture promises us that if we seek Him, we will find Him, if we search for Him with all our heart. And we had begun to look at the concept of leprosy, which scripturally would address any and every situation where a person was disqualified from participating in the camp of the people of God. There are conditions that disqualify us from being partakers of all that we ought to be. I'm going to give you a quick panoramic view, a panoramic view of what I'm trying to say. If you look at the book of Numbers chapter 5, which we glanced at briefly on Sunday, from the first verse, we'll read till verse 4. Then the Lord said to Moses, command the Israelites to send away from the camp. Do what? Send away from the camp anyone with a skin disease, anyone who has a bodily discharge, and anyone who is defiled by a dead body. Three major categories that disqualify. It would do you great good to pay intense attention to these life-deciding factors. Life-deciding. One, skin disease. Most of your Bibles, some translations, especially King James, will say leprosy. Leprosy. So understand that. But also those who have a bodily discharge or an issue, when it says issue, to issue forth, to secrete, okay, to secrete. So if you have a running sore, something that is constantly secreting liquid, now it could be from your private parts, it could be anything. This was God's way of keeping His people healthy. Long before modern medicine came to be and they started saying, oh, there's this kind of affliction, it's very contagious. So let's pretend someone had Ebola back then. All right. God already knew that any kind of affliction that results in liquids coming forth, that it tends to be contagious. It tends to jump. So it's other people are going to get infected. And the Lord went to great measures to keep His people healthy. And He would say, someone has this kind of affliction, this kind, let them stay away. Even when the females, you read in the King James, it sounds really bad. You know, it says your monthly uncleanness. All right. I'm sure sisters don't feel very good when they read some parts of the Bible. Overcome your initial displeasure with those expressions and focus on some of these matters, which many years ago, I believe we took time and spoke about. We spoke about how God was not just protecting them from spiritual affliction, was protecting them from physical affliction. The Israelites were the healthiest people. They were. Because their God built their sanitary code into, you may say, their religion. And, you know, I've shared how you read in the Bible and it says, you know, that it may be well with you. And you're like, he says, eat this, don't eat this. That it may be well with you. I used to think, yes, so God will bless you. And I found out that He doesn't have to bless you. When you don't eat pork and with all the things that issues in pork consumption would carry, especially back then, still now, but especially back then, because of all the terrible things that pigs would eat. So they were infested with all sorts of worms and pathogens and bad stuff. So when you eat it, it goes into you, and a host of afflictions accompany them. God didn't go into explaining, you know, if you look under a microscope. No, God has microscopic vision already. And so He does tell His people, you know what, don't eat one, two. Every single thing God says don't eat has a health issue. There's not one. Don't eat monkeys. Don't eat bats. Don't eat. Now, modern science, thousands of years later, says, this one is a host to this. Everything God said don't eat. Fish, marine, aerial, bovine, name it, it has issues. So the God who made them, or at least made the things that he made, and then human beings came and tampered with what God made, knew and said, do not eat it. So he wasn't saying, if you eat this thing, I won't bless you. No, he was saying, you'll be sick. You know, to not be well is to be sick. So I got to understand that. It's not that God was following you around with a stick. If you do that, I'll strike you. No, he was saying, based on my endless knowledge, if you eat this, it won't be well with you. If you disobey this, it won't be well with you. If you do this, it will be well with you. If you do this, you will live long. If you do this, it will be well with you. That's, you'll be helping you and all that. This is throughout the scriptures. When he would say the females should separate in the times of their monthly cycles, their periods, their menstruation and all that, it's because of the huge possibility of infection. So we talk about the bed during that time. Then we talk about how at the end of it, you should wash all your the clothes involved. He would talk about it with the males too, that they notice themselves having discharges at night and all of that, bodily discharges, which accompanies sexually transmitted infections and all the rest. The same rules apply. He would say things like you should stay alone. He would say the bed, you say that others should not sit on it. He would say the utensils you used after that season, that you should wash it. He gave those instructions so his people would be healthy. That's the major physical reason he gave those instructions. The second reason is he was giving spiritual pictures using physical realities until today. And that's what we are looking at. That's what we are emphasizing now. Our modern medical practices, sanitary practices, take care of some of those other issues. You know, we have just different things that help us stay healthier. Good. It's not desert life. It's not 4,000 years ago. We have advances. We made advances in sanitation and so on. But what about the spiritual meanings? What did he mean? Because he's God and you worship him in spirit and in truth. All the examples the Lord gave, multitudes of illustrations and instructions, carry spiritual weight. If we do not understand them, you don't understand the spiritual implications of what the Most High God meant, then you blunder through life. You may be physically well, but psychologically and spiritually sick and afflicted. And if you can't see the great wisdom of the only wise God in hiding the secrets to spiritual wellness in physical instructions, you can be as modern as you like and as in trouble as you like. So look at what he says here. He says, command the Israelites to send away from the camp anyone with a skin disease. All right. Anyone who has a bodily discharge or issue, the body is secreting things from the skin, from the genitals, from wherever. If you notice that is going on, it wasn't a one-day thing or a recognized 4 or 5 day thing. It's gone on. Put them outside the camp. You won't see them say they should put out a woman who is having a monthly cycle outside the camp. You don't see that. Okay, so you know it's not that one. There were categories. But there are other kinds of things. Oh, this man, this has kept on, says put them outside the camp. Maybe it's coming out of his mouth again, like Ebola. Something is just wrong. Remove him. Before you understand, their treatment was outside. It was called a quarantine. They were removed first and attended to outside. Because while you're still talking, the whole school has chickenpox. Who has been in school before that? It was chickenpox outbreak. Primary school. How many children did they start with? 1, 2. Next thing, they shut down the whole school. If you are taking action from there, say, well, I don't want her to feel bad. Now, everybody feels bad. And in the houses they go to, the people in it will feel. So quarantines are, it's wisdom. During the Black Plague in Europe, 500 plus years ago, I mean, they would die. Of course, it was connected to what they were eating and so on. The Jews would not die because they were eating according to the law says. So the Jews were alive. After a while, they said they are the ones killing people. Say, you people are witches. Why is everyone dying except you? They were not eating the carriers of the things that were killing people. Because the God, who knows, had given them instructions that they may have not believed in Jesus. The Jews, not for a long time. They didn't believe in Jesus, but they were still eating according to the law. And that by itself, even till today, has consequences. Even till today. All right. Not spiritual consequences, physical. Spiritually, you recognize, you put them out. And finally, you are defiled by a dead body. How? How are you defiled by a dead body? You touched a dead body. Is that all? What's wrong with that? Oh, dead bodies are primary hosts. They carry lots of bad things. Bad things happen around dead bodies. You have no idea, one, what killed the person sometimes. Two, after the person died, what is now inhabiting the body? So someone would die in the wilderness. Someone would die, whatever was the cause. The people would fight war. The men of Israel would go out and fight battles as they fought. They would stab someone, drag. The person's blood would touch them. You qualified for touching a dead body every time you went to war. When you come back, you stay outside the camp. You don't go in. You don't just say, well done, everybody. Mm-mm. Stay with all your fellow. You touch blood, you're infected, possibly. So you would wait, and they would observe you. Any fevers, any shakes at night, you're fine. But wash, go in. We look at the book of Numbers when they went and fought the Midianites and took out Balaam and you know, those Moabites and all those. You'll see that in I think chapter 30 and 31. You know, but you see them, you know, and they are fighting and all of that. Now, don't open it or anything. You can go look at it by yourself. I hope it's Numbers. It should be. And they go, and when they come back, they tell them, wait there. It's not, you don't say, God sent me. Is it not God that sent me? It doesn't change the law. I sent you, yes. The law still applies to you. I don't want you to go and kill a Jebusite with HIV and you bring it into my camp. Kill your enemies. Don't kill my people. The rules were simple. So dead bodies were the third primary source. It is why they only allowed some people. They didn't allow the priest to touch a dead body, except it was a child or a very close relative, maybe his wife or all that. Priests could not. Amongst the reasons, when they touch dead bodies, they also constantly minister to people. It's not just saying, I'm too clean. No, you have to understand the reasoning. It is that the job of the priest by its nature is to constantly interact with people on behalf of God. So what happens when your priest is on 7 days lockdown? What will you do? All the sacrifices, you people travel, you came in from Bethlehem. You wait for 7 days. They say the priest is on lockdown. Priest. Remember, the priest went to the house. Again, are you seeing the wisdom of God? So he says, no, the priest, no, you don't touch their bodies. So the priest will stand, do this, do that, but he won't touch. It's not just the religious righteousness. It was practical decisions. Now, spiritually, it also means that when you represent the Lord between people, there are many things you shouldn't touch. You know, we've spoken about dead bodies. I'm sure in the future we'll say more about it. But over the past many years, the Bible tells you, you touch a dead body, you can't celebrate the Passover. Numbers chapter 9, can't celebrate the Passover. Why? Because you're unclean. You're going to infect the celebration. You can't participate. And but that also tells you that those who have been unable to share in the Lord Jesus and the sacrifice he paid, many of them, religions of the world, they are in contact with a dead body. Jesus is not a dead body. He's he who was dead but is alive forevermore. Every other religion, dead bodies. Doesn't matter which religion or religious leader you're following. It's a dead body. Whoever was leading it is dead. Spiritually, those are dead bodies. It's only those who have come in contact with the Lord Jesus who is not dead. He is not here for his reason. He's a living body. He's the living Christ. He's the opposite of a dead body. Demonic things are dead bodies. Things that have been touched by flies. The Lord of the flies is the word Beelzebub. Dead things are things that flies squat on and move one disease to and from. Dead things. That's why dead things, carcasses, attract flies. Dead religions attract demons. One of the signs that a group of people or a church is dead, notice a lot of demonic activity. Church be dead. If there's light, flies tend They can buzz around you and disturb you, but you don't see a living human being with flies squatting all over them. No. They might, one might, or two might try to perch. If you're carrying something they like, you ate mangoes. Yes. You raise that hand like this. You'll be visited. So you have to carry something. That's why Christians can have demonic oppression. When you carry what demons like, that's an announcement. Come to me. Other than that, you're clean, smelling of antiseptic. Waiting fly, carry you. A fly comes. What's all this cleanness for? It passes. But you carry what flies like. Behold, I perch. You shoo it away. Comes again. I'm talking about nice things like mango. Let's not go the other way. They smell bad stuff. Yes, no? They smell bad stuff. You stepped into what you should not step into. Long before you knew, the fly started telling you. You know, what's it with flies? So you, what's the smell? Then you pick your shoe. Who remembers? Terrible feeling. You sat in class. You kept wondering, what? Terrible feeling. So flies. Demons, Beelzebub, Lord of the flies. That's what it means. Demonic entities are drawn to smelly, dead things. Things that are no more alive. Things that are rotting. Things that are decaying. Things that are, King James, perishing. Perishing. Demons, they are drawn to it. They'll come, they'll bug your mind. Pester you. You know, so a lot of the issues people have in this world, It's not so much, why is it only me? What have you been touching? What have you been in contact with? What have you stepped in your walk? Where did you go? Why are you bombarded with so much oppressions in your mind and all that? Very likely you've come in contact with dead things. You know, feces is the ultimate dead thing. It's dead things that have been expelled. A lot of dead things squeezed of all its goodness. Does not have real nutrition, and it's gone, was passed out, rejected. Your body said, I don't want. You find yourself, even a body, I don't want to explore this too long, but a body of believers, the body of believers says, go. You go after it. What did you want? Did anyone understand me? Did one person understand me? The body of Christ expelled it. You went after it. Do you know what you just did in the spirit? You don't, right? You know dogs eat feces. Why do you think the Bible says like a dog will return to your vomit? What the body expelled? Bleh. Who has seen a dog eating vomit before? All of you here, you think in your mind, you say it's those local dogs, including those, you know these dogs. You'll be shocked at what they can do. Who has seen a fine dog before licking up vomit? Dogs are not very discriminatory. You. A dog is a dog. Fine dog, ugly dog. I know they are well-fed and spoiled dogs, but generally, I mean, I was taking a puppy home many years ago, fine cross between a Caucasian and an Alsatian, you know, a German Shepherd, and it's the back of the car, and they had given him noodles or whatever. The owner said that's what they used to give it, you know. And the poor dog, maybe motion sickness as I was driving, too, was the back, down there at the back, you know, and he went, you know, he threw up, and you could see noodles. It wasn't really bad, but it dropped, you know. I kept driving. Poor dog. Don't worry. I'll get home. When I got home, I looked for the... The dog was still there. The vomit was gone. I think the dog went like, now, let's not dirty. It's my new owner. Let me not... I cleaned it up. Clean. Yeah. That's a dog. So when you find yourself, 2 Peter 2:22, of them the proverbs are true. A dog returns to his vomit, and a sow, a pig, female pig, that is washed, goes back to her wallowing in the mud. You find yourself, a body expels something. Something is expelled from a body of believers. You find yourself trailing it, tracking it down. To go and do what? Why do you think the Bible says don't eat with such a person? You don't understand. Who understands now? I know, again, if in your mind you have been expelled from body after body in your mind. Say, are you saying I am? I didn't say nothing. I just said 2 plus 2. My own addiction so far keep giving me four, no matter which angle I approach it from. It's an expulsion. Paul said, expel such a man from me. Why did he say that? He clarified. He said, don't you, in 1 Corinthians 5, he said, don't you know a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Is it not the same thing a contagion does? It spreads. So God put protocols in place. God put protocols in place. Remember, God wants his body to be healthy and clean. Remember? Good. There are the nations of the world who allow all sorts of things, but God does not. God said, Numbers 5, you know, the next verse. So he said, send them away from the camp. Verse 3, you must send away male and female alike. You don't say, no, she's a female. No. She's a female. Why? Because these afflictions, these infestations, this contagion does not say, I'm a male contagion. She would, if it was a man, I know he's strong. He can survive. No, the woman will kill you too. The woman too will kill everybody. Male and female, that's strong and weak. It doesn't matter if they are carrying it. The damage they will cause. Pathogens are not picky. A virus doesn't say, which body are we? Female. Okay. Should we jump to other people? Mm-mm. Because we are still in a female body. Let's keep it. No, they don't. They are not picky. They practice that equity. That the false equity people speak about. Read with me. Send them outside the camp.
So they will not defile
their camp where I dwell among them. What do you notice? Send them outside the camp so they will not defile what?
Their
camp. Watch. Who owns the camp?
Them.
It's their camp. Dude, are you hearing this? It's their camp. It's not the other people's camp. It's their camp. Unfortunately, and we are going to look at the causes, the sources of leprosy. Everything, as usual, will be from the scriptures. You will find out that it's not everyone that has leprosy that was directly responsible for having. You'll see one of the ways of getting leprosy is by inheritance. Lineage. So you need to know. You don't just keep saying, what did I do? Or who said I? You can have leprosy without having any hand in it. It doesn't mean it's not your camp. It doesn't mean it's not your place. It doesn't mean they are not your people. It just means that you need not to be willing to defile your own camp. You should love your camp, your people, the dwelling place of God's people enough not to kill everyone. And you know, this is one of the signs of those that are the children of God and the children of the devil. 1 John 3, verse 10. You ready on Sunday? Let's read it again. Read.
By this, the children of God are distinguished from the children of the devil. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother.
Did you see that? Anyone who does not love his
brother.
He said, do not defile their camp. They should not defile their camp. If you love your brother, would you purposely pass an infection to him?
No.
Would you? You wouldn't. You wouldn't. Don't defile your camp. If you love brother. Now, the children of the devil don't love the brethren. You don't care. You don't care. So they should reject me. I now look like I'm bad. So you don't mind everyone here run, dies. Even in the movies, you see someone. I say, stay away from me. No. Don't come in. Have you ever watched a movie like that where the person stayed? Some shot themselves dead. Don't. That's love. Even unbelievers know that love will make you not pass an infection. So the truth is, many, many people, your real issue you have is that you're not really properly a child of God yet. You don't mind infecting. I've often said that I've seen people give themselves to sin. That is, they came to the Lord, then they started pulling away to sin. I've seen people cut away neatly, causing no problems, dragging nobody along, just living neatly. I used to tell the leaders, I say, I admire those who can do things like that. It means there's some level of love. I've heard people have said, I don't want to be the source of stumbling to others. That's an admirable, that means there's some element of love in you. Then there are those who don't give a hoot. I don't care. I don't care if I take 50 people down with me. I'll drag you all down with me. You know, your punishment is way bigger. I always tell this house, for many years. I would say in the future, if you're ever tempted to backslide, can I help you? Please, backslide alone. Don't drag people as you're going down. You give account for everyone you took down with you. In your mind, you know, because of all the wrong beliefs we have about hell, about all those things, many wrong beliefs, utterly wrong. So in your mind, no, hell is the same. It doesn't matter whether all you stole was matches. What's that say? Matches, have you? One matchstick, yes? Or if you kill somebody. If you like, believe nonsense. Ignore the Bible and believe nonsense. The Bible is clear that you'll be judged according to what you did. The Bible tells you that it's according. The Bible says it very many times. It's according to what you did. And in case you didn't get the points, as usual, we find in the law. He said it's burn for burn, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. In other words, God goes after. It's called justice. It has to be equal. God judges you according. In case you're not sure, no, that's the law. What's this man preaching? Let's stick with Jesus then. Matthew chapter 7. With the same measure you measure, it will be measured unto you. And in case you're not still sure, well, you know, Jesus, I've heard preachers say, they say Jesus is, that's before the cross. Let's go after the cross. Galatians chapter 5. After the cross. The apostle of, in quote, grace. Not true, but that's what we say. A revelation. Paul, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that is what he reaps. Galatians 6 verse 7.
Do not be deceived. God is not to be mocked. Whatever a man sows, he will reap.
It is what you sow. It is not, I slap three people. So you give me one slap back. Kim, you slap one person, but you know sin is sin. So one slap. You're very confused. Three hot slaps plus their children are waiting for you. That's what, after the law, all your days were written in his book, according to the book of Psalms. Revelation 20, and the books were opened, and everyone was judged from what was written in the books. So, whatever I do is equal. See, you, I'm not a worse sinner than you. Bros, I have this session I have for unbelievers. See, dear unbeliever, you're here, you're online. Jesus loves you and all that. Always remember this. In your sinful life, sin small. Okay? Sin small. You understand this thing in the future. You see how this will help you. They will beat you, but it will be less. But if you sin much, they will beat you plenty. Jesus said this all the time. He talks about people's punishment being worse or greater. The whole scripture, all the apostles said the same thing. Till a generation that decided not to read their Bible, but follow men of God. I like this one. I like how he talks. I like how this one dresses. I like how the other one looks. So I'll believe everything my preacher idol says. I won't read the Bible. I won't look at it. I won't simply type in the word judge. If you want to go after the cross, because Jesus is different from yesterday and today. So, I mean, who knows what Bible you're reading? So, stick from Acts of the Apostles then, and type in the word judge, judgment, and write down, go and read every scripture. It's very easy. You have a phone, have a laptop, check it. Judgment is according to what you did, not according to what you believed, as you have been told. It's not five verses. It is overwhelming evidence. For you to ignore all of it and go with your favorite confused preacher will change nothing. I'm always saying this. It will change nothing. If you think you're going to stand there with great confidence, and then Jesus will say, I see you really have faith. Based on that, we change the rules because you really have faith. Comes from hearing the word of God. Where do you get your faith from? That's not faith. That's presumption and foolishness. You ignored the words of the judge and the king. The king says you will be judged according to what he said. He promised you you'll be judged according to what you do. At the very end of the book of Revelation, I say, if you're holy, continue being holy. If you're unholy, continue. He's the first one that said continue. Some of these people are too young. Understand? See now, Revelation 22, verse 11. Let the unrighteous continue to be unrighteous. And the vile continue. There's no other verse with so many continues. to be vile. Let the righteous continue to practice of righteousness, and the holy continue to be holy. Continue. It's a function of what you keep doing. I explained, I think, on Sunday that it's a walk. It's not a one-time thing. It's a multitude of a con. It's what you call a continuum. Goes on like that. So if holiness, you're not holy for 3 weeks. And say, I tried. At least God will count it for me. Like I was taught in my Catholic Sunday school when I was a child. You know, if you do a lot of good things, some good things, and you do bad things, God will now count good. Yes, what you do matters. But you see, we are talking about giving your life to Christ is not what you do, it's what you believe. But we are not discussing the moment you came to Jesus. Why are you going to come to Jesus just before you come? It's what you did after you gave your life to Jesus. Did you follow him? Did you walk in righteousness? Were you following him? If you were following him, then you operate in the righteousness of Christ, who did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. You would do the same thing. You would obey him. You would understand what he meant in the spirit by his laws, and you'd obey them as you would continue in them. That young ruler came to him, wealthy man, said, Lord, what must I do to inherit the kingdom? He told him, keep the law. He didn't come up with some fancy thing. He said, when the man said, I've kept them all my youth growing up, he said, one thing is lacking. Go and get rid of everything you have and come and follow me. Go from just believing the word, become a disciple, a follower, imitators in the Greek. And that's where the man, I have so much money. If I get rid of all my stuff and follow you, Kai. Doesn't mean God rejected him. Just means that he will not inherit. To inherit is a bit, is extra. Inherit is, here's your portion. He'll be told like the rich man, you know, you enjoyed your good things. So doesn't mean he goes into perdition or punishment. It just means he wanted more. He wanted an inheritance. You know, you can be an occupant of something that is not your inheritance. You understand someone owns this building? Or is it your inheritance? But are you in it? So an inheritance is more than an occupation. Okay. So an inheritance is ownership. You exercise rights of ownership over what you inherit. What you don't inherit, you can exercise some privilege within it or upon it. But your privilege is limited by the rights of the owner. Is this clear? So there are those that will be heirs. The Bible tells you of the Matthew 25, Luke 19, you know, says you inherit the kingdom, Matthew 25, you know, of your father prepared for you. You know, there's an inheritance that you have full rights to do upon it. You know, I have some inheritance. You know, I have a property in Calabasas, you know, and just some days ago, I exercised rights of inheritance and collected rent. You cannot. Is it paying you? Go to your father. It's a right of inheritance. So I was given that property. Say, hey, here's this compound with this house. So I could go in there and renovate it. Long time ago, 1 year ago, too, I went and renovated. I did things on it. I didn't take permission. Please, daddy, can I put tiles? You can put tiles. Okay, can put tiles. Ask the tiles man, how much is that? Daddy, he said the that's not an inheritance. That is you're a tenant. An inheritance is, it's yours. Here, you're given. When it's yours, you can exercise right to right. It may be like yours, but it's not yours. I'm living in a property that is my brother's own by inheritance. It's not mine. Now, I've done things in it too. I've made it better and more convenient for living. Many things. If I was like some of you, I'll do nothing. I'll suffer like a thief. Because later on, your brother will come and take it. My younger brother, who is not here. You know, so some people wouldn't do anything. Me, I'm acting as though I'll live there forever. But in my mind, I'm conscious that if tomorrow, the places they are, which will get hot, they will run down, that I may have to tell my wife, darling, let's go. I tell my brother, let's calculate, you're owing me. and I carry my body, they come out. I know it's not mine by inheritance. So I can't tear, I can't increase the number of stories on it or do certain things. This is how an inheritance works. So Jesus, that fellow wanted to inherit, like he didn't want to just be there, he wanted to inherit. Jesus looked at him. Jesus gave him the first level. He said, go and keep the commandments. The Bible says, he said, I've done it already. The Bible says Jesus looked at him and loved him. It's like, oh, this might be one of the other categories. This one is not going to be an occupant in the age to come. This is leadership material. This is one of the kings. For those who don't know, when he says Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, stop thinking of Jesus being King of Demons. Stop. He's King of Kings. He's the firstborn amongst many sons that are being called into glory. He's the King of Glory. There are many that will be called, it's what the Bible calls the manifestation of the sons of God. Jesus is the only unique, monogenic son of God, the unique son of God. But he's bringing many sons to glory. So those sons are not every born again Christian. Not at all. Not at all. It's the ruling class of the coming ages. This is all over your Bible again, just that most of the church does not know it at all and therefore cannot preach about it. We need eyes to see this one. So the Bible is clear. They will be occupants of the kingdom, Luke 19, Matthew 25, but they will be rulers of that age. So Jesus looked at that guy and went like, I think these are the ones you are looking for. Would you like to do that one? You must be my disciple. What's the qualification for disciple? It's not the same as qualification for a believer. To be a believer, you believe in your heart. To be a disciple, you must give up father, mother, brother, sister. It's a whole other list. So that fellow could not give it up. So he departed. This one is for accumulating treasure in heaven. He said, go and sell it. Mark 10, and give to the poor. It's a different, it's like the difference between having a writing jam and writing your PhD dissertation. It's a different thing. It's all in our school. Do you understand? All of it is a degree. All of it is a qualification. But this is a much higher qualification. So in the ages to come, that's this class here, the overcomer class, those are the guys that resurrect in the first resurrection. They are the leadership class. They are the category that come out and lead the rest of the coming age. They will be kings and priests, and they will reign with him. Now, normal preaching, normal growing up till today, majority, almost every preacher is preaching the same thing. Revelation chapter 5, we are kings and priests. If everybody is a king, who are you a king over? Who are you a king over? Everybody is a king. You're a king over who? These guys are reigning on the earth. If you look at Revelation chapter 20, you see them. The Bible tells you they reign for 1,000 years and that the rest of the dead do not even rise from the dead. These are kings. These guys are in a class. Now, Christians, typical impatience, they took something that is in the future, brought it to the present and say, we are kings and priests now. Then you look at their life. They need water, money to buy soup. King and priest. The Bible says Jesus lowered himself, humbled himself to the point of becoming a man. And even not just a man, a servant. The price of Jesus' head, we shared it here some months ago, I showed you in the Bible, was the price of a servant. The price of a man, 20 years and above, is about 50 pieces of silver. They paid 30 pieces of silver for Jesus. That's the price of a servant. It's not a mistake. It wasn't just written there. He valued himself as a servant. That's why Isaiah called him all the time, my servant, my servant, my servant, my servant. The one who serves, my diakonia, my minister, the one who serves me. That was his price. If they had just paid differently, it would have been a whole different class. It wasn't paid. It's in the law, the price of people, price of a woman, price of a servant woman, price of a man, price of a little child 5 years below is a price for all. So it was deliberate. Specific. They paid a price for him. That's how he presented himself. That was the coming. The suffering servant. That was for that coming. For the next dimension when he comes. Why do you think Benjamin, they gave him 300 pieces of silver? That's 10 times. Benjamin is the son of the right hand. Benjamin, son. Ben, Yamin, right hand. Jesus, Benjamin is a picture of Jesus in his next coming. The last who becomes the first. That's why he tells you, I'm the first and I am the last. Benjamin is the last, but he's also the first. So when he came first, 30 pieces comes next, 300 pieces as the price on his head. That's when you've completed the work. That's when you've completed the work. The price of serving, the priest began to serve at 30 years of age. Christ Joseph ascends at 30. David ascends at 30. Jesus ascends at 30. No mistakes. It's the language of the Spirit. God is talking. God doesn't have to come and say, I'm talking. He's talking all the time. But you must have eyes to see between the lines. He's making strong statements. Pity the person who refuses to serve, who looks forward to glory. How? Where will you collect it? You didn't know what it meant to be a servant. You want to sit on a throne. Won't happen. Look at everybody that ascended to power at 30. Look at them. I just gave you three names. David, Jesus, Joseph. What do you find them doing before they are 30? All. One thing. One. Serving. The last time you hear of Jesus, he's submitted to his parents. Serving. Finding favor with God and man. David. Fathership, Joseph, Potiphar's house, and prison. They are faithful people. When the time comes for them to ascend the throne, Joseph couldn't come out of prison before 30. It would spoil the picture. There's a time for everything. And the wisdom of God teaches us how to maneuver during those times. The rich young ruler could not inherit because he could not pay the price of discipleship. He said, where my servant is, in the book of John, chapter what, 12? Where my servant is, where I am, my servant will be also. If any man serves me, my father will honor him. Okay? There's a price to pay. 12:26. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, my servant will be as well. If anyone serves me, the father will honor him. Have you seen that? There's service before there's honor. Humility precedes. The book of Proverbs tells you honor and riches. It's a humbling, a going down. Again, do not look forward to glory if you do not enjoy or embrace humble service. Do not look forward to it. One of the ways I know some preachers, they seem very, you know, successful, but they do not honor God. They are not humble. I don't look forward, oh yeah, you know, I remember many, many years ago, very popular, maybe one of the most popular evangelists on earth, you know, and my family sitting in the parlor. Or we're walking past, anyways, you know, many, 20 years ago, more than 20 years ago. But a sister of mine says, this kind of person, the kind of reward waiting for them. And I look at her and go, no, it doesn't work like that at all. That's not what will happen. You don't look at how someone seems to be successful on earth, the crowds they draw. Never. That's upside down. People are constantly not reading their Bibles carefully. That's just wrong. Mm-mm. Someone can operate in the gifts of the Spirit. Great things can happen here. And Matthew 7 is his portion. Lord, in your name I cast out demons. I prophesied. I did many great miracles or projects. And the Lord says, I don't know you. Depart from me. And he tells you why. You're a lawlessness worker. You're a worker of lawlessness. King James says iniquity. The word anomia means lawlessness. One who ignores the law of God. Doesn't matter the crowds. It doesn't matter the miracles. It doesn't even matter. Why? Because God doesn't judge you for his gifts, which he gave you. So I was trying to explain to the sister, I said, hey, if they gave you a gift to draw people, when you stand and speak, people are drawn to you. You have an evangelistic gift. Again, I always say this, pity people with gifts. Pity them. Pity the man. Listen. There's a man. Listen. He does not have a vehicle. He goes to work. He's not wealthy, really. He doesn't have money to have a side chick. In fact, he doesn't have money to even have a chick. He doesn't have money to maintain a woman. And because of that, he's less tempted. And girls are less tempted to come near him. He does not suffer from Jezebelian attraction. Girls are not coming after him. Hey, good afternoon, sir. He doesn't get unnecessarily polite greetings and help. You know, the girls in the compound do not come around. Please, sir, is this your day? Well done, sir. I just came to greet. No, because they look at him. See, when he arrived from work, you know, you can see he has walked long. The shoes have a tell to tell. The dust on those shoes during dry season, especially, is really a loud sound. So he can go to church and come back, go to work and come back with minimal temptation, very highly reduced temptation. You know, they speak against him behind. Look at poor man. They ask him things like, neighbor, when are you packing? So he's less tempted, and therefore he's less prone to be tempted to fall into immorality, yes? But in this world we live in, okay, you're going to sit down and admire the man with the air-conditioned car, tinted glasses, boom, boom, pop, music. Yes? And he drives, and wherever he goes, when he pulls over to buy corn, you know, or he's just passing, and girls say, excuse me, are you going this way? You know, people that were not going anywhere will be pointing directions. But again, they are just open-minded. I saw a video, real video, all of these things where they are hiding a camera somewhere. And the guy comes out looking somehow and acting anyhow. And he tells two girls by the side of the road who are obviously waiting for any man to show up. Say, hey, would you like to, you know, go out with me or something? And the girls say, no, what for? This and that. Well, they treat him like trash. And then he walks away and then turns around and goes and stands by one exotic car like this, you know, beep, beep, you know, and open. And the girls move down and say, ah, is this yours? You know, and then they begin a whole conversation. They begin a whole conversation and he begins to talk to them. And he allows them to enter the car. And there's some camera hidden there, you know, and he's talking. And they're talking price and all that. I don't know if he say don't give them anything or something. Or whatever. After a while, he pulls out and says, get out of my car. After all, you people, you didn't have money. Get out of my car. Now, I'm not saying it's a good thing. I'm not saying he's a Christian man. He's a silly man, of course. But that's real life. He's the same man. They saw him as he walked away from them. You know, either entered a store, then walked back. They couldn't believe. Now, he purposely kept that car to catch this video. It was purposely kept it after as they came from somewhere else. And then, you know, they called them gold diggers. It's a real thing. Why did their attitude change? Why were they now smiling and doing all of that? It's what it is. It's real life. It's the real deal. It's the state of the human heart. So the man that says, if only God will give him money, if only God will give him money, if only God will give him money. Are you sure that's a good thing? Are you very sure that will make it more possible for you to see Jesus? Because it may be the only reason you don't see Jesus. Everything that seems like an advantage in this world, your looks, male and female, money, brain, three major things. It can be your greatest curse. Those three things, your greatest curse. It can be your guarantee of destruction. Those three things. But it's the three things the people of the world and most of God's children run after. Crazy. Many of God's servants preach as though it's an advantage. Are you sure it is an advantage? That you're so intelligent. Are you sure? And you like to show off that you're intelligent. So you're admired. Next thing, girls are throwing themselves on you in class. Visiting you unnecessarily. Meanwhile, if you're just in between or slightly dull, nobody would have had your time. Because you're struggling to even understand what they... Not someone who said it's like fire. The girls will come around. Be unnecessarily nice. Now you're tempted. Now she wants to be your reading partner. And now she knows she has competition. How does she hook the reading partner to be her reading partner? Is it what? Talk? Except she has cash. But if she doesn't have cash, what next? What? Someone said body here. Or is it a smile? What would they use and keep you? You belong to me. Private tutor. Yeah. So you've entered. Waiting put you for trouble. Is it not your brains? Your brains are put you in trouble. Now you're in extra trouble. You would have not been kept. Nobody. All those girls would have looked at you. Chaff guy. Chaff guy. You would have passed it. Now you're a chaff correct guy. You don't dress well, but who cares? Is it dressing? So it's like having money. That's the ultimate. I don't need to talk about that again. Talk about it on Sunday. If you went here on Sunday, listen to Sunday's message. It began to talk about leprosy. We'll continue today. We'll continue on Friday, hopefully. You know, and leprosy are the things that are the beginnings of death in the human nature, flesh, that attract further destruction, except you are healed. Before we are done with this series, we look at how to be healed. We look at the causes of leprosy. How do you get afflicted with spiritual leprosy? How do you get healed from spiritual leprosy? The different people in the Bible, how were they healed from it? Identify, do you have spiritual leprosy? Should you be outside the camp of the Lord? Look at Revelation chapter 20, verse, I read just verse 7. I'd like you to read for me verse 7 to 9.
When the 1,000 years are complete, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations at the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to assemble them for battle.
Read, everyone, next verse.
Their number
number is like the sound of the seashore. Verse 9, everyone.
And they marched across the broad expanse of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints.
What did they surround?
The camp of the saints.
And?
The beloved city.
The camp of the saints is the? Oh, come on. The camp of the saints is the? Okay. Some of you now agree it is the same thing. Okay. The camp of the saints and the? It's okay. It's okay. Let's not fight about this. That's what I brought you here to see. What happened? But fire came down from heaven and consumed them. Who did fire come down from heaven and consume? The army of Satan. Do you agree? It was the army led by Satan. What did they surround? What did they go to attack? The camp of the saints and the beloved city. And fire came and consumed them. Go back to Numbers 5, verse 3. I want you to see. I say I want to give a panoramic view. You must send away male and female. Send them outside the camp so they will not defile their camp where I dwell among them. I don't want to go on reading. When you go back, you can go and read chapter 21, 22 of the book of Revelations, and you will see that the city of God, the Lamb of God, was within it. Are you seeing the shadow of the camp in the future? That the Lord already was saying, don't do anyhow. Do not do anyhow in my city. Now, let me show you leprosy just briefly. So when we go back and start studying, you don't say, this leprosy talk does not apply to me. Let's be sure it does. It may never apply to you. Let's be sure. Some of you, you already have leprosy. I can assert clearly. And you need to be cleansed. Some of you may be attacked by leprosy in the future. Some of you are being cleansed from leprosy. Whatever it is, you must know, does this message I am hearing concern me? You know, we'll be thinking of how to put out the topic on this thing, leprosy. How many Christians do you know will pick up a message titled leprosy? How many people? They in your mind, no, you want to, how to make it 2024, how to be rich, how to stand out, to be foremost. But leprosy will disqualify you from all those things you're running after. Because the children of God do not have a habit of eating the lamb with its bones. They skip. You must take in all of the word of God. The things that were written for our learning. They were not written for other people. They were written for us. Romans 15:4 says it was written for us. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 11 says it was written for us as a warning. These things were written in the past for our instruction. What happens when we refuse to think that things that were written were for our instruction? You think it's for someone else. I always say this in case there's someone here who today is the only day you'll come. After now, you're like, please, I'm not ready. I don't even understand what they're saying. Leprosy, I'm not coming again. Please, I always give you a takeaway. Please, for those of you coming back, don't let those that will not come back. Please, it's okay. God help you, bless you. But let me give you something to take. When you go, at least remember this. Some scriptures. First Romans 15:4, 1 Corinthians 10:11. Remember whenever you're reading your Bible, long after you're gone, that the things that were written for your instruction, not for nobody. The things that were written in the past. Was Leviticus written in the past? Was Numbers written in the past? It is for your instruction. Go to 1 Corinthians 10:11. They were written down as Look. They were written down as
warnings.
Look, some of you didn't still see it. Look at that. They were written down as
warnings for us.
Warnings for us. Who is us? Read. On whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. That makes it very specific. The fulfillment, the age of chaos, the age of Passover, the age of Pentecost. We are about to enter the age of tabernacles. God with us, Emmanuel, God with us, the Lord dwelling, tabernacling amongst us, dwell amongst them, walk amongst them, I'll be their God, they'll be my children. That time is coming. These are ages of the dealings of God. It's coming to the fulfillment, the 7 week, 7 days of God. Leviticus was written. Numbers was written for us who are at the fulfillment. That's the fulfillment of something, is the end of something. The upon whom the end, some translations say the end of the ages have come. God operates in ages. So please, 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 ensure that you understand that scriptures were not written for some people and not for you. It was written for us more than it has been written for any generation. This is why we study it. This is why we take the time. You can't study this in a drive-by. No, you have to stop. Pay attention. Ask the Holy Spirit, teach me. Keep company with those who have understanding. Be willing to learn. You won't like some of what you learn, but it is what it is. It can be tough. You eat the lamb, Jesus, with bitter herbs. Bitter herbs. The Bible says you eat all of it. You don't skip. You don't say, I don't like bitter things. There's a bitter part of Christianity, and the bitter part of walking in Jesus includes the fact that there's a camp of the people of God, and if you defile it, who has read it before in 1 Corinthians, that if any man destroys my body, have you heard before where God said he and 1 Corinthians 3, do you hear him say he'll destroy you? Have you read before that if any man, you defile my body, the temple of God, 1 Corinthians 3:17. You want to read it together? Once you go.
If any man defile the temple of God,
him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Are you seeing it come together? Are you seeing why I say remove them from the camp? Because if you defile it, he's saying, I will destroy you. In your mind, you're going to say, no, it doesn't matter. I mean, you look at people and you know, ah, I'm a preacher, I'm a servant of God. You stumble into sin. Brother, you stumbled into sin, or you're living in sin. You found that this thing, it wasn't a one-time thing. You confessed it to your wife, preacher man. No, you didn't confess it to your wife. You hid it. And then it happened again. Then it happened again. It happened again. Then the show must go on. You keep preaching. You keep preaching. You keep preaching. You keep 1 year later, 2 years later, 5 years later, there are 8 girls involved. In different. No, the shame will be too much. You know you're not a believer, right? Because the God, you have a God guarantee, I will destroy you. It's not that I'll destroy your name and your ministry. I'll destroy you. You have ensured that the maker of heaven and earth will destroy you. You have guaranteed it. Your mind, no. You see how it is. See, once you repent, that's not how it works. Do you think God is a liar? Let God betray every man a liar. So whatever you're saying will happen, he'll still destroy you. He can destroy you and restore you. Yes. You have not read about the temple in Jerusalem? Did he destroy it? Did he rebuild it? Did he destroy it again? You're not sure? Did Jesus show up and look at Solomon's temple, Herod's temple, and they say 46 years they built it? And he went, yay! Nice. What did he say? Did Jesus used to go to that temple? Did they defile it? Were they doing business in it? Was it a business center? Did he try his best? Did I show you that that place is as big as multiple stadium? A stadium. Oh, come on. There's never enough time to say all we have to say. The temple courts were massive. Can you picture the millions of people? They came from around the world to celebrate the feast. They all squeezed in. It was massive. The size of about 14 stadia. You didn't hear me. Have you seen a stadium before? Picture 14. The Bible says Jesus drove them out from the court. He removed, you know, in the films, he does, hey. People ran small. They scattered a few things. The problem is, if they want to show you Jesus driving them out of the temple, the film will finish. Did you understand me? Do I have one person that understands me? Every time the Lord would teach me something, when you understand the scripture, your mind explodes. In other words, presume Jesus spent maybe 2 hours, 3, driving them out. It wasn't sharp, sharp. No. He took his time. Leave. He poured their money. He caused chaos in that place. That place is so big. I don't know how long it took to drive them out. He drove them out. I've showed you. He did not pick a king. The Bible says he made the king. He made it. He picked pieces and was weaving koboko. Peter Ho. There's complete, the lawyers call it menswear. Eh? Actus rea is the act of doing. Mens is the intention to do. It wasn't. Wait a minute! Wait a minute! Yoruba! No!